So first of all, I missed you all. I truly did. I wasn't lying to Penelope when I said that. And a huge, huge thank you to Everett and Andy and others who really stepped up. I knew you all were in amazing hands, and I did not worry, which was wonderful. I told someone the whole first week I slept great. So, and moving into our scripture for today is Psalm 100. Hear now these words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, friends, today we're looking at gratitude. Now, gratitude is a struggle for some of us. Sometimes it's easy to focus on the negative and what we miss and what we wish that we had. And yet a key part of the Christian practice is gratitude. And gratitude is not only something Jesus modeled, but it's also good for our health. Maybe God was onto something, right? In fact, as people who practice gratitude recover more quickly, studies have shown. Addiction recovery programs encourage gratitude as a way of embracing a new way of thinking. It helps reorient us, our lives, away from what was previously driving our path. Now, Diana Butler Bass wrote a wonderful book on gratitude. She's an Episcopal priest and biblical professor. And so I found this wonderful interview on YouTube, and so Adiah is going to show it. This is what prompted her book on gratitude.
But it came from a pretty personal place. In 2015, I was in a moment with my career where I was looking ahead, what's the next book going to be about? And I wanted to write something about Christian practices. And so I had thought about doing an entire book on the whole list of practices that you find in the New Testament, that joy, hopefulness, all of those, that long list of the nine things that are the marks of a full Christian life. And so I was talking to my agent about that, and he said, well, that's a lot. that's not writing a book about one thing. That'd be writing a book about nine things. And he said, why don't you pick one and we can focus a book on that, whatever one you think is most important. And so a couple of weeks later, I was back on the phone with him again, and we weren't really talking about the book, but I was griping. And what I was griping about was something that I think all of us who are professionals are a little shy about maybe sharing in public. But I was griping about how was it that I was in my early 50s and there were women who were in their late 30s whose writing careers were more successful than mine. And so I was like, really just like, oh, full of sort of anger and envy and all kinds of negative emotions. And my agent, who is also my friend, finally just said to me, well, Diana, we were thinking about Christian practices and which one you might want to write at. And he says, maybe you should try thankfulness. And he was trying to point out to me, of course, that I had tons to be thankful for and that I was measuring myself in the wrong ways, by sort of stacking my gifts and my contribution to the world up against those of other people. And it really sort of knocked the wind out of me when someone you work with and is a really good friend, someone you've trusted for nearly two decades, actually, says, I don't think you're grateful enough. That was the moment to look in a mirror. And I thought, I really should explore this practice.
I don't know about you, but that story hit me. How many times have we been a little bit like Diana Butler Bass? Instead of focusing on all that we have in our lives, right, we focus on what we don't have, what we haven't accomplished, and we lack that gratitude or thankfulness. For Diana, her book and practice had to start with defining what gratitude is. So she discovered there's kind of two ways that we think about gratitude. One is feelings. That one I think we understand, right? We are grateful when someone does something for us, right? That is the feeling inside. I am so grateful for Everett and Andy who allowed me to go on vacation, right? That's a feeling inside. We are so grateful when we receive that gift on Christmas that we were wanting, that we receive a token, a gift from someone, and that means so much. We understand that part. The other part of gratitude I think most of us struggle with, and that's about a daily choice or a choice that we make. She said in this interview, it's an ethical disposition towards gifts, givers, and beneficiaries. Now again, the ethics piece is really about the moral shaping and character, and it's when she understood gratitude more deeply, she felt herself changing. In fact, Anne and I got to hear her on this very topic, gratitude, back in October. And she gave us some examples of how she's changed, but she said in that her husband has said, this has changed your life more than anything else you've ever written about. You know, like she actually has taken it on. So it's that second part, though, the choice, the ethical part. That is the part that most of us struggle with, the daily choice to practice gratitude. Now we look at that Psalm 100. The writer chose gratitude. And this gratitude is rooted in God's goodness, God's steadfast love that endures forever, God's faithfulness. Daily, the psalm writer chose to focus on God's goodness, not just because of that beautiful sunrise or sunset, again, that feeling that we feel, but because God's goodness endures forever. Now, most of the Old Testament or Hebrew Bible, part of our Bible, is all about remembering God's acts. The Exodus story is a story of deliverance, and time and time, the people, Moses, prophets, the writings, the commandments, all of that is to remind the people about what God has done, the acts of God. They are to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt, that God heard the cries of the suffering of the people, God intimately knew their suffering, and God came down to deliver God's people. And then God led them for 40 years in the wilderness, and every time they started to murmur or complain or grumble, like again, not none of us, but just them, every time they would be reminded by Moses and God to remember what God has done. God is providing that daily manna. They are to remember and give thanks. Diana Butler Bass writes in her book that when gratitude becomes a daily habit of being, our capacity to see time past, present, and future actually changes. And she talks about how gratitude gives us soft eyes. Gratitude offers a new perspective on time and seeing that only gratitude can offer. So the soft eyes allow us to see our past in a new way. Now let me be clear. There are some things that are just bad, and we will never look at them with gratitude, right? Abuse, whole different category. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the hard journeys that we've endured in our lives that have made us into the people that we are today. We can look back with gratitude at the growth that we have experienced. Gratitude can help us build resilience as we look at the past. And eyes of gratitude can even help us as we look to the future. It can be easy to look at the future with dread, can it not, right? The news never gets better. Let's just put it that way, right? The news never gets better. We don't know what the climate's going to look like in the next 10 to 20 years. We don't know what kind of violence is going to be in our own towns, in the world, in the next 10 to 20 years. But as Diana Butler Bass wrote in her book, one of the things that gratitude does is it builds in us these habits of resilience that can prepare us to handle difficult and stressful situations. So when we look back at the past, gratitude gives us a different kind of hindsight and also helps us when we look to the future. Gratitude gives us a different foresight. She writes, so she's in her 60s, so this is her words. Oh my gosh, she says, oh my gosh, I've gone through all this stuff. I'm over 60, and what might be coming around the corner? I think I might have the tools and experience that's going to get me there. And gratitude is one of those things that help us to face what lies ahead. That resilience, again, can help us to face what lies ahead and remember what has happened. Friends, I get the pleasure of coaching different colleagues, and it's a lot of fun. I like it because I'm not the expert. I just get to ask the fun questions. And one of my favorite questions to be asked and also to ask others is, when have you dealt with this before and what did you do? Because so often we think that this is the first time we've ever done this. We forget, right? When we kind of are in the stress cycle, we forget what we've done before or how far we've come. And it's amazing when we look at how far we've come. Again, maybe you were in a really not fun job for a couple years, but you learned about yourself. You learned that you could handle it. You learned to set boundaries about what you wanted to accept and what you would no longer accept. It's behavior from others. You learned things about yourself. You set up new boundaries so that didn't happen again, right? We can come away with confidence at times. And remember, God hasn't forgotten us yet. I was thinking back about my early 20s. I remember looking back with gratitude about my time studying abroad. So back in 2006, I was a junior in college, and I decided to study abroad in Spain. Now, let me take us back in time, friends. Let me remind you about 2006. So for our teenagers here, this was the Stone Age for you. The Razor cell phone, I don't know if you all remember, the Razor cell phone was like the hot item. You had to click on each number to get the letter if you texted. iPhones had not even been invented, or it just hadn't been released. How about that? In 2007, the iPhone was released. I'm pretty sure it wasn't until after that I got that slide phone that had the full keyboard. Those were the days, right? Now to the Swifty fans, while I was in Spain, Taylor Swift released her first album. So that's how long ago it was. So again, I remember in after I'd come back, remembering what I had done. So as a young adult, this was after 2001, after 9/11. So my parents dropped me off. They walked with me as far as they could. That was TSA. Then they said goodbye. So I went through customs by myself in Madrid. I had to change flights. While I traveled before, I was never fully in charge, right? I didn't lose my passport. Like, again, big things, big things. I found my program director. I talked to my host mom who only spoke Spanish, right? I did these big things. And when I would face new challenges, later on, I would remind myself, remember, you got on a plane, you found your way, you made it back, you have done hard things, you can do this. You can do this. One thing I was especially proud of, so my family came to visit at the end of my program, and we stayed for an extra week and traveled around, and our flight was like the first flight out, and before the time, like public transportation was not open at that time. So I had to call in Spanish to reserve a taxi. Friends, when that taxi showed up on time, it was like Christmas morning. It was like, I have done it. Because, I don't know, if you've learned another language, like to speak on the phone, hand gestures mean nothing. They can't see you. You can't tell. You can't read their face to see if they understand you, right? So again, it was Christmas morning when they came. Now, if you're not convinced yet about how important gratitude and looking back, one of my favorite marriage counseling books is called The Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. He's able to predict divorce after meeting a couple within, I think, about 15 minutes with over 90% accuracy. And this is due to the questions he asks. One factor, so these are about the questions. The question that breaks my heart every time I reread the book or think about the book is when the couple can no longer remember any good memories. When they look back at the past, even when they first met, they have nothing good to say about it. Their wedding day, their engagement, when that has happened, he said it is very hard. Now, he never says that divorce is always going to happen, but it's going to take a lot of counseling. So again, when we can't even look back at the past with any gratitude, with any good thoughts, things are in trouble. Our relationships suffer. So how do we practice gratitude? It's this daily decision to be grateful and reframing all the time. So Diana Butler Bass encourages people to change their prepositions when they think about gratitude. So often we say what we're grateful for, right? I do it, right? Thanksgiving, maybe before you can eat that turkey, you have to say what you're grateful for. Well, she encourages us to think about different prepositions. Because so often that gratitude is about material things or what we've received. So she thinks it says to think about to whom or what are you grateful? What challenges have you been grateful through? Have you been grateful with others? Where have you discovered gratitude within? Has something in your life been changed by the practice of gratitude? In what circumstances have you experienced thankfulness? And she says, when the prepositions change, the whole conversation changes as well. Again, it's not just about those material things, what we've received, but it's about everything, realizing we can be grateful in everything. In just a few moments, we are going to come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Well, Eucharist is Greek for to give thanks. This supper is all about giving thanks. In fact, this supper is a continuation of the Passover meal, which is when the Israelites remembered what God had done for them, remember the remembrance. And so it's a continuation of that remembrance to give thanks. And we remember that when we lift up each element, that Jesus first gave thanks to God for that and then gave it to the disciples. So friends, this week and this month, well, really our whole lives, we are invited to practice gratitude, not just the feeling part, the easy part in my opinion, but the harder part, that daily choice. Maybe it's noticing when kindness is done, embracing the sense of awe and seeing gratitude in all things. And maybe you start by looking at your past. Again, not the times of abuse, but hard journeys that you have learned a lot about yourself through. How can you begin to reframe some of your difficult journeys that led to growth within you? Can you begin to feel a sense of gratitude for that journey? Or maybe it's reframing the future. What has all that you've gone through, how has that prepared you for the future, no matter what it holds? Remember, friends, you have done hard things. You started a new job, you moved to a new place, you didn't know people, you have done hard things. And you are stronger than you realize, and God is with you all the way. Will you all please pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for all that you are doing in our lives, for just your presence. God, help us. Make us into grateful people. Help us, God, to reframe our past, to remember that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us, and you promise that in the future as well. Thank you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.